WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. Remember our workplace meeting rebellion coming up in about 15 minutes, right at 11:15. We want you to find an excuse to duck out of the meeting that you're in at work and call up and tell us what makes a good or a bad workplace meeting. That's coming up at 11:15. But right now, let's talk about that tense David and Goliath relationship that's developing between Amazon and independent booksellers, around since Amazon started selling books online, really. But there's an idea in Europe that we don't hear much about in this country. The French Parliament, for example, recently passed a law, unanimously, by the way, that forces online retailers to choose between selling books at a discount or offering free shipping. It has to be one or the other. The point is to stop Amazon from being able to offer such deep discounts that they put independent bookstores out of business. Maybe you saw the recent New York Times op-ed by the author Pamela Druckerman, which discussed France's so-called anti-Amazon law. And this goes on elsewhere, too. At least 11 countries, from what we know, mandate fixed book prices, prohibiting big chains and retailers from offering steep discounts to undercut smaller competition to protect the culture of independent bookstores. So should the U.S. follow suit? Would you accept price controls on books? In this case, price controls that prevent the books from going too low rather than going too high. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. We have a guest joining us from France to talk about this. He is Dougal Thompson, Director of Communications and Programs for the International Publishers Association, and he just wrote a report on fixed book pricing systems around the world. Dougal, welcome to WNYC. Thank you for doing this with us. Hello from New York.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for having me.
This concept is foreign to many of us as Americans, where we think so much in terms of market prices. Are there different models in different countries for fixed book prices?
Yeah, this model was foreign to me too, Brian, before I encountered it. I'm Scottish, you know, the country that gave the world Adam Smith and the Wealth of Nations. And as an Anglo-Saxon free marketer, it took a lot of getting my head around what fixed book price was. But I discovered that systems have existed for more than 150 years which allow booksellers and publishers to sort of come to an agreement, either sort of legislated or just between themselves, on the price that a book can be sold at. And this started in France in the 19th century. It's developed in Germany, in the UK. I mean, there's no such thing as a standard fixed book price model, but essentially the idea is that a publisher is able to fix the price at which a book can be sold, and then the retailer is not able to, you know, savagely discount it, for example, as a loss leader. And in countries where there is no such thing as fixed book price, that is exactly the sort of behavior that you see when you walk into, say, a supermarket in London. You'll see the latest Ken Follett or Crichton or Harry Potter book offered at half the price that it would be in the neighborhood bookstore, because it's a way that supermarkets can get people in the door.
It's funny, we have such an opposite legal framework and culture in this country that there was just that recent ruling against the publishers and Apple for trying to fix book prices to keep them too high. Amazon was seen as the victim there, as well as consumers who should be entitled to competition driving prices down. But Amazon was seen as one of the victims. Apple, in collusion with publishers, the ruling went, were working on establishing what would be a standard price for e-books. And this was seen as, you know, anti-American. I guess it would be anti-French to make books too cheap because it would destroy the diversity of who gets to sell them.
Yeah, I mean, there's a number of points there from what you've said. First, I think we can agree that price fixing anywhere tends to drive prices up. And books are no different from anything else. The rationale behind a fixed book price is that books are extra special, that they're a sort of exceptional commodity that serves a really important cultural value in developing an individual and developing society. And for that reason, the same rules shouldn't apply.
And can I say that what you just described, and correct me if I'm wrong, is not just a cultural worldview. That's the government position in France. The French government classifies books as an essential good, like electricity or bread or water. We just don't think of it like that in this country, at least not legally and officially.
That's right. And, I mean, there's a lot to be said for the fixed book price system when you sort of stop focusing on how much the top 10 bestsellers cost and actually think about the wider book infrastructure. And that's the point that Pamela was making in her New York Times article. The sheer number of independent bookstores in France and in other countries where there is fixed book price speaks for itself. And I'll give you some figures from Japan, where there is one bookstore for every 7,000 population. Now, in the U.S., you've got one bookstore for every 27,000. So that's about four times as many bookstores per head of population in Japan, which is a country that has fixed book price. And France is exactly the same.
Why do we care? If I'm Amazon, I probably argue today that more people are going to buy and read more books if competition is allowed to drive the prices down than if we keep the precious institution, precious though it may be for the people who use them, of independent bookstores.
Well, Amazon have got nothing to gain from a fixed book price, and that's why they're not able to achieve the same kind of market dominance in France as they can in the UK and the US. I mean, in the UK, Amazon have just a completely insanely dominant market position, selling something like 70% or 80% of online book sales, whereas in France it's a quarter of that. Huh. Amazon have got nothing to gain from fixed book price.
But I'm asking, if our concern ultimately is not with which businesses win or lose, but with culture and what's good for the public, what's good for literature, what's good for encouraging more people to read more books and making it easier for more people to read more books, why isn't the Amazon system better? Cheaper books, they're out there.
Cheaper books, but you're then at the mercy of one omnipotent retailer deciding what books to present to you. And this is, this is what publishers are discovering that rub up against Amazon, that Amazon can simply take their books off the website. Do you want that or not? I mean, that's just an open question for a society to reflect on. Do you want one retailer to be able to decide which books people are being,
directed
allowed
to
access to?
Listeners, would you like a fixed book price law in the United States, an anti-Amazon law like they recently passed unanimously in the French Parliament to keep book prices high enough to support independent bookstores? Even the chains here like Borders, which closed, and Barnes & Noble, which is shrinking, can't keep up. 212-433-WNYC. Do you care? Would this be un-American? 212-433-9692. John in Manhattan, you're on the air. Hi, John.
Hi, totally against it. I'm a serious book person. I pay $400 a month for a mini storage to store my books. I was, you know, I had a charge account at 8th Street Bookstore when that existed. I'm serious on every level. But the availability of used books on Amazon, I can buy books for $1 plus shipping. It's easier than going out to my mini storage. And this is just going to repress that. The book publishers should get their act together, make their e-books available for like $2, and they'll sell 10 times as many books. The idea that they sell an ebook for $25 is disgusting because there's no incremental cost whatsoever. And if this industry gets its imagination together, it can make books much more available, much cheaper for all of us.
John, thank you. And Mimi in South Orange, who might have a different view. Mimi, you're on WNYC.
Hi.
Hello.
I live in the town right next to Maplewood, which has a wonderful independent bookstore, and they call themselves Words, and it's right on Maplewood Avenue. And when you buy from them, they are very helpful. They often discount books. They'll get you anything you want. And in addition to which, just to convince you, my granddaughter works there occasionally in sales. So I thought you really should know it's called Words, and it's in Maplewood, New Jersey.
Aha, a conflict of interest. So does your granddaughter, anyone she knows, complain, has this reached your ears, about the pressure that's put even on their existence by Amazon?
I don't think so. These are two comparatively small towns, and this place will get you anything you want. And maybe you don't walk in and find as many as you would find in a big bookstore in New York City. As I say, we're on the train line to New York City. But I just feel that it's an unusual opportunity for anyone in this area.
Thank you very much. From the Maplewood South Orange Booster Society, Mimi. Andrew in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Andrew.
Hi. Listen, bookmakers, the publishers themselves, have now twice given away all of their institutional power. First, they gave it away to Barnes & Noble, which was 10 years ago seen as the boogeyman to beat all boogeymen, and now they've given all their institutional power away to Amazon for exactly the same reasons. Today, you can't go to Hachette or Simon & Schuster or any of the big publishers and buy a book directly. So if the publishers want to compete with Amazon and they don't like the market power, they need to make the painful decision to pull their books and build their own storefront.
Andrew, thank you. So Dougal Thompson from the International Publishers Association, what do you think of that critique of the industry?
Well, we had some really interesting opinions there. And I liked Andrew's point, which is a very valid one, that publishers don't have to be enthralled to Amazon. They should be looking for ways to develop their own direct-to-consumer channels. One thing I would say is that we're having this discussion sort of ostensibly just about fixed book price, but fixed book price is only one way that you can support publishing and bookstores. And it's great that you're having this discussion, but I mean it goes way beyond fixed book price, and there's lots of other things that governments could be taking the lead on. If they're not allowed to meddle in competition policy, they can still be doing a lot to promote early literacy and developing a love of books and reading and supporting libraries. While fixed book price is one interesting tool that the French and the Japanese and others have used to build a sort of robust book infrastructure, there are many other things as well that we can and already are doing.
Here's Anne in Manhattan, who works in the publishing industry. Hi, Anne.
Hi. I just wanted to make a comment that there's an assumption that what goes into producing a book is only the printing and binding, and actually about 97% of the cost of producing a book is not just the printing and binding. So producing an e-book is not necessarily cheaper than producing a print book, and they do displace sales of print books, and therefore we need to have the revenue from the e-books as much as we do from the cloth books. There's an assumption.
Argue for or against restricting Amazon from discounting as much as they do?
I'm totally for restricting Amazon. totally for it. They have a philosophy that publishers are simply middlemen that don't need to exist.
Thank you very much. And author Stephanie Winston calling in. Stephanie, you're on WNYC.
Hi, Brian, and welcome back. I have an unusual background that I am an established author. However, I do have my original background was in book publishing, and I know a little bit more about the economics of book publishing than I think most authors actually do. And I'd like to, first of all, build upon what Anne just said, that most people do not understand that the price of a book, let's say Random House has a $25 price for a book, just, you know, for example, that includes not only the author's advance, and that include, and some authors need substantial advances because it takes them 2 years to prepare a book if they're, you know, in a serious area. So it includes the advance, it includes the physical manufacture, it includes the promotion, but here is what most people don't understand. That standard book publishing, you know, the Random Houses, Simon & Schuster's of today that we understand them today, only maybe 30 to 40% of the books they produce actually make even a minimal profit. You know, we're all familiar with the Harry Potters, the huge bestsellers. Those are such a tiny, tiny, tiny tip of the iceberg. They support the book industry, but in fact, book publishing, people will say, well, why can't they, you know, publish more books that people want to buy? Because in the end, it is a judgment call.
Right, and there's a cultural component, which even at the level of the publisher is disappearing, publishing things so that even if they don't make money, they're out there in the culture for those people who want them. That's starting to become an artifact of the past because of the pressures of the industry. But, Stephanie, I take your points. I'm going to get one more in here because Carrie in Sparta has a dystopian vision of our Amazon future that I want to get out. Carrie, hi.
Hi, how are you? I just wanted to say that I think that this is a rather short-term discussion, and in the long term, Amazon's goal is to get rid of all the booksellers and probably most of the publishers, and then it will raise the prices to as much as it cares to.
Huh. So Dougal Thompson, what about that? I mean, in theory, you know, Economics 101 would probably teach us that as Amazon becomes even a truer monopoly than it's already becoming in terms of book sales, when Mimi's granddaughter's independent bookstore in Maplewood and all its peers go out of business, when the Barnes & Nobles go out of business, and all there is Amazon, then they're going to be a monopoly, and then they'll be able to push the prices back up, and we'd be having a whole opposite conversation.
Well, I think that's exactly what Amazon are hoping will happen, not just in books, but, you know, there's a great book about Amazon called The Everything Store, and that's how it sees itself. It wants to dominate the whole retail spectrum. So that's taking the lessons it's learned from selling books and applying it to clothes, food, office equipment. And a lot of people laughed when Jeff Bezos told CBS that he was going to start using drones to deliver his items. But they are really focused and really serious on total retail market domination. And so that's, you know, that's the future that Amazon wants to happen.
And that's going to be the last word as we give a little publicity to the European idea of forbidding Amazon by law to discount books past a certain point to preserve independent booksellers. Dougal Thompson, Director of Communications and Programs for the International Publishers Association. You can read his report on fixed book pricing on our website at WNYC.org. Dougal, thanks a lot for joining us.